Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the Opel Commercial Vehicles range. We have your van.
Many gamers will be counting down the days now until the release of the new Sony PlayStation 5 and also the Microsoft Xbox Series X. Both are due to be released on November the 10th and 12th, respectively. To give us a flavour about the excitement surrounding their release, I'm joined by Ciara O'Brien, business and technology journalist with the Irish Times. I'm also joined by Eric Finn, an experienced gamer and one of Ireland's highest ranking players of eSport and FIFA. Ciara, you've actually gotten your hands on the PS5, but you're somewhat limited in what you're allowed to say about it, are you?
Yeah, there's a whole lot of embargoes, I suppose, in a way to stop people spoiling games for people and also to build a bit of excitement. But yes, I do have my hands on one of them. And I've been playing a game on it that, it gives you a good idea of the capabilities of the console and how the new controllers will work. So I suppose it's the best one to start
with. But you can't tell me whether you're impressed or not. Is that the deal?
Well, I can tell you I'm impressed so far, but I can't tell you what I'm impressed with. You know what I mean? The thing about the PlayStation 5 is, this has been 7 years in the making. Same with the Xbox Series X. And there's a lot of excitement. The pre-orders, I think they sold out in minutes in Smith's and a few other places. Trying to get your hands on one right now is pretty impossible. But, you know, who knows? There may be some more released before Christmas. Otherwise, there's going to be a lot of disappointed people, I think, on Christmas Day. And I say people, not children, because this is not something that is strictly for children. Though children will enjoy it, this is for adults as well. I mean, look, gaming, for me, gaming is not something that is the kind of the exclusive preserve of children, although people seem to see gaming, video games, as something that are for teenagers and kids. They're not. I mean, these are there's a whole, as your other guest will attest to, there's a whole esports scene out there that has become quite popular in recent years. And you can actually make, if you are very, very good, it's like being an elite athlete at this point. You know, you can make a living
from
being a
gamer. You can make absolutely serious money about it. And it's adult prices here. It's not kid Christmas present prices. They're both around €500.
They are. Now, there's two versions of each console. So the PlayStation 5, you have a version that has a disc drive, that has a Blu-ray disc player built into it. That's the most expensive one. That's €500. For €100 less, you can go digital only. And there's advantages to doing that because obviously a lot of people would buy games on download. Now, you don't have to have the discs. It does mean that if you have any of kind of the previous generation, if you have PlayStation 4 discs hanging around that might be compatible with the new system, you know, obviously you won't be able to use them if you go for the digital only version. But there is no difference aside from that for the PlayStation 5. Now, when you get to the Xbox, it's a different story.
And how much are the games going to be?
It depends on the game, but I mean, you're looking at €60 to €80 for a decent game, and then there's kind of the ultimate versions that will go for over €100. They'll have extras included with them. So, I mean, it's not cheap. It's really not cheap, but it hasn't been for quite a long time.
Can I ask the ultimate square non-gamer question? These are also a pretty seriously sizable chunk of hardware to have around the place. How big are they going to be?
The PlayStation 5, I think, is the biggest out of the lot. Because it's got the disc drive in it. I mean, I can give you the dimensions of it if it'll make any difference to people. It's basically 15 inches kind of in length, 10 inches by 4. And that would be, you can lie them flat or you can put them on their side. I mean, the PlayStation 5 comes with a stand that you can attach to the bottom of it, so it can stand vertically if you're short on space. The Series X is it's a bit of more of an awkward shape. It's actually smaller and kind of in overall mass, but it's nearly 6 inches. It's kind of like a 6 by 6 inch and then nearly 12 inches tall. So it's kind of it's a rectangular shape and it's a bit of a chunk, but it actually takes up less space than the PlayStation 5 does.
Eric, has it ever become a problem for you where to put all of your games consoles?
I'm actually running out of space at this point because I do have a PlayStation 4, Xbox One and a Nintendo Switch, and I'm trying to think of where I'm going to put it. I might make a shelf. I think that might be a good idea.
Yeah, it really does sound like something that you're actually going to need a whole sort of media console for, doesn't it, to put everything away. Are you, I presume, given your fame in these circles, that you're not going to have any problem getting your hands on advanced copies of these, or are you queuing like everybody else?
Luckily, I have already not got it specifically in front of me, but I do have the Xbox Series X ordered, and it is on its way, I'd imagine, at some point within the next 2 weeks. The PlayStation, I think I will leave off for a bit longer, because, as you said, it is €500 in and around per console. So I think I'll leave that until after Christmas. And as well, I kind of felt bad buying it before Christmas, knowing that I'd play the Xbox Series X firstly, because there's only a select amount of consoles per country. And if I took the PlayStation 5 and it would be sitting beside me until after Christmas,
you'd be depriving somebody.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody else wouldn't be able to enjoy it.
And are you in any way suspicious, Eric? Well, the same question to both of you, that they create demand, they create a story and expectation every year by only releasing a limited amount. Eric?
Yeah, I guess like they probably do that as well, just to kind of keep the hype around it as well, you know, because it's like if it's attainable to everybody, it might have that. So it could be some sort of marketing product, you know.
And it really does create an awful lot of frustration for parents, doesn't it, Kira?
It does, and I've had lots of people contact me asking, you know, are Sony going to be doing more pre-orders? Look, the reality is this happens every new console launch. There's a lot of hype, there's lots of pre-orders, then it kind of levels off a bit. This year, obviously, we have the added complication of COVID, so you don't want to be standing in a physical shop, you know, with lots of people queuing to try and get a pre-order. People are trying to get them online, and then, look, inevitably, some of these are going to show up on eBay and reseller sites. So I look.
Yes or no, do you do that? Is it risky?
I try not to do it because, look, it's an awful lot of trust to be putting in a complete stranger. And a lot of people, maybe they'll have bought them and decided then they're not for them, or they'll have bought them to sell on. You know, you can kind of tell the difference. Obviously, that people will sell them for way over market price. To be honest, in that case, I personally would wait and get it from a shop where I can bring it back if I have a problem. But for some people, that's not an option. I mean, a lot of this is going to be Santa presents as well, and that's very hard to explain.
Yeah, indeed. The questions are coming in for you already. I would love to surprise my 14-year-old son with a PS5 for Christmas, but I have no idea where or how to get it. Any advice?
Keep an eye on PlayStation's Irish social media accounts to see if they're releasing any more pre-orders. Keep an eye on retailers like Currys and Smiths. I don't know if any more will appear. I haven't actually been able to get an answer as to whether or not they have any more stock left to kind of drop before Christmas, I suppose, to try and satisfy this level of demand. But I mean, the only thing you do is just keep an eye out on all the retailers that would normally sell them and just hope for the best. Fingers crossed.
Eric, I was always really bad at games, so I don't know that much about this culture. So some of my questions are going to be dumb, for which I apologise. Please do put up with me if you don't mind. Is there much excitement about these new consoles within the gaming community, though? Because surely, you know, what you're playing with already are pretty technologically high spec.
Yeah, completely. I agree with you. But the there is a certain thing or two maybe that people are kind of excited about within the next-gen console. So the current consoles, such as Xbox One and PlayStation 4, came out in like November 2013. How far have we came in technology since then? You know, like at that time, the latest iPhone to hit the market was the iPhone 5. We've had seven of them between then and now. So I think for 7 years of entertainment, €400 or €500, excluding the games, obviously, is a decent price in my opinion. But the biggest thing for me in some games, when you load up between different scenes within the game, it can take up to like 3 minutes to fully render the new area you're going into. So the loading screen is obviously going to be there while you're waiting. In the next-gen consoles, this will take a fraction of that time, allowing ourselves to re-immerse ourselves into the game. For most people, they only allow themselves a certain amount of time per day to play. So this 2 or 3 minutes waiting around per scene transition, which can happen 5 or 6 times an hour, can allow people to get more out of their playtime, essentially.
Do you just play FIFA or do you play a range of games?
Like my priority is always FIFA, but I love a variety of games, such as like first-person action games, open-world games, Pokemon even more sports games. But I love football, you know, and I played pretty much for the last 15 years. So I guess that love kind of transitioned onto the virtual pitch.
And how many hours a week do you think?
At the moment, because I am still working full-time, so I work until like 4 or 5, and then I'd probably play for 6 or 7 hours. So we can say my sleep schedule isn't the greatest at the moment, but it's definitely something that I feel is necessary, you know, for the current industry that I'm trying to work into.
And explain to me, because I don't understand this. You play it professionally, so you head off to, before lockdown, you were heading off to international competitions. Why do you need to do that if you can all play online?
It's a very common concept. At the same time, with that kind of assumption, you're assuming that everybody that I'm playing against will have amazing internet. And that isn't always the case. Fortunately for me, I live in a place where I have amazing internet and I have no issues. But that isn't always the case. So, like, online, yes, I think this year we will be having to deal with kind of that issue. But we have no other choice at the moment. You know, it's not like I'd be going across to any other country anytime soon. But it is something like LAN events, we call them. They're amazing to go to because you get to meet these people that you've talked online with for a year, 2 years, 3 years, you know. Uh-huh. And it's great to, you know, be able to build a community around that and then obviously share some sort of similarities with other people across the world.
And before I let you go, just tell me very quickly, what kind of a prize pot does this competition carry?
Well, I've been to two so far, and one in Romania and one was in London, and the prize pool was just a crisp $250,000.
Good Lord, all right. Eric and Kira, thank you both very much.